Welcome to Walk in Truth. These are the Bible teachings of Pastor Michael Lance, equipping you to reach out with God's truth to all people and how to apply that truth to today's issues, trends, and culture. Learn more when you visit walkintruth.com. Now here's part three of Pastor Michael's teaching in Acts 23:12 through 24:27, called When I Find Time.
He gave orders to the centurion for him, Paul, to be kept in custody and yet to have some freedom and not prevent any of his friends from ministering to him. So if you were in a Roman imprisonment, your friends had to bring you food and whatever you needed, and people were ministering to Paul. He had some freedom in the palace, and his friends freely came and went. Now, some days later, here's where our text turns. Felix, who would decide Paul's case, remember, arrived with Drusilla, his wife, who was a Jewess. Now, we don't have any record that he talked to the commander about the facts of the case, but he went and got his wife, who was Drusilla. Drusilla was the third wife of Felix, and history tells us that Felix hired a magician, an occult magician, who went to this girl, and according to Roman historians, Drusilla was strikingly beautiful. She was about 20 years old at this time. She had married a king, a Syrian prince, been married to him for a year, and Felix, apparently intoxicated with her beauty, sent this occult messenger and convinced her to divorce her husband and to marry him and be his third wife. And so this is Drusilla. She's a Jewess because she's grown up Jewish. She's grown up with the law. As a matter of fact, she's directly connected to the family of Agrippa. Interestingly enough, Drusilla's family had a long history with the teaching and familiarity with Jesus Christ. Her great-grandfather attempted to murder Jesus in Bethlehem when he was a child. Her great-uncle killed John the Baptist and was involved with the soldiers in mocking Jesus and dressing him in a purple robe. Her father killed the apostle James, John's brother. Her dad did not give glory to God during a speech he gave. He took the glory for himself, and he was struck by an angel in Acts chapter 12 and eaten by worms and died. Drusilla had a little knowledge about Christianity. I'm sure she heard some of the family stories around the dinner table. And the latest one is her dad didn't give glory to God, and maybe she didn't think it was God who did it, but he was struck by an angel and eaten by worms from the inside out. That's her daddy. You think she might be thinking about her soul a little bit? But she's living as if there's no God. She grew up in a Jewish home, but her life does not reflect that she believes in the Ten Commandments. She's just committed adultery. She just left her husband, became the third wife of a ruler because maybe she was bored. Or maybe she wanted more excitement in her life. Or maybe she was convinced by this occult messenger, whatever it was. But there's a lot of people in our land right now. They grow up with Christianity. They grow up with Sunday school. But they've abandoned God. And they live like practical atheists. And their morals show no reflection of the God of the Bible. It's like when they make decisions, they don't think that the Bible applies to them any longer. That is foolish, folks. It's absolutely foolish. See, God has put things into his plan and into the moral law in your conscience and in sowing and reaping. And if you go against God, it will eventually catch up to you. Amen? You can take it to the bank. And so here she is. She's shown up. And what's the purpose of them coming? Well, here comes Felix. He apparently went and got her, and they sent for Paul. Now, Paul, think of Paul. He's been in the palace. He knows this guy is going to have a bearing on his future, and he stands before the governor of the land. Would you lighten up your gospel presentation? Would you water it down a little bit? After all, you're talking to the governor. I mean, what would you say? Would you try to maybe butter him up a little bit so he'll be kind to you? And right out of the gate in verse 24, probably entering in with pomp and circumstance and the royal regalia, having Roman guards everywhere and sitting probably on thrones, Paul gets a chance to speak. And the first record that Luke gives us is when they sent for Paul, they heard him speak about what? Faith in Jesus Christ. Don't you love Paul? Paul knows what his mission is. He knows that the Lord has called him to speak before kings and governors. And he says, look, the door is open. This guy needs Jesus as bad as anybody else does. And I'm sure Paul knew some of the things that were going on in the moral shortcomings of this man. And so Paul's going to give us a 3-point sermon that should blow our socks off. It's wonderful. It's great. It's one of my favorite passages in the Bible. Paul's 3-point sermon to this couple was, he discussed righteousness, self-control, and the judgment to come. How do you like that before the governor? So Paul, we'd like to hear a little bit more about your faith in Jesus. You seem to be an interesting fellow. Can you tell us more about Jesus? Yeah. You need to place your faith in Jesus, Governor Felix and Drusilla. And another thing, I would like to discourse on 3 major points in my sermon. I'd like to talk about righteousness, self-control, and the judgment to come. Did he tailor his presentation for these 2? Well, in some ways. But when Paul wrote Romans, he said, all of us have sinned and we all fall short of the glory of God. What's Paul doing? He's presenting the truth of all mankind. There is no one righteous, not even one. The wages of sin is death. Paul's saying, this is not a game. And he preaches a 3-point sermon, dialoguing with them. See the word discussing in verse 25. It's where we get the word dialogue. It means to discourse, but it also has the idea of arguing or discussing. I think Paul, with passion, starts off his sermon by talking about righteousness. You say, what is righteousness? It denotes the civic virtue of observance of law and fulfillment of duty. The word speaks of right living, integrity, virtue, uprightness, equity, justice, and even religious observances and requirements. Now, we as Christians have the imputed righteousness of Christ. We have his perfection in our account by our faith in him. But to be righteous means to live rightly. Now think of the audience of Felix and Drusilla. How are they living? Wrongly. Point number 1. Point number 2, he talks about self-control. It speaks of temperance, one who has mastered his desires and his power over passions, especially sensual appetites. Galatians 5:23 tells us that one of the fruits of the Spirit is self-control. If you're out of control as a Christian, then it's because the fruits of the Spirit are not engaged in your life. Because one of the fruits or byproducts of the Holy Spirit in your life is self-control. So you're not walking in the Spirit if you're out of control. Bottom line. Point number 3, he talks about judgment. Krimatos is the Greek word. It literally means the decision of a judge with the implication of a pronounced sentence which could be unfavorable. Hence, it has the idea of condemnation. Earlier in Acts 17, Paul says God has fixed a day, and he may have repeated this very idea before Felix, when he will judge the world in righteousness. He's given evidence of this by raising Jesus Christ from the dead. He is the man who will judge. Wow. Now, what do you think Felix's reaction is to the sermon? Well, these 3 points hit home because the Bible tells us that Felix was absolutely terrified. It says Felix became frightened. The Greek word is emphobos, where we get the idea of fear. He was terrified. He began to tremble before Paul. How the tables have turned now. And there are 2 tragedies I want to tell you about in life, because many, many Americans hear the gospel and don't respond to it. One tragedy is to tremble, but not to repent and trust in Christ. And the other tragedy is to never tremble. And I see both responses to the gospel. I've seen people literally tremble before the truth of the gospel and not turn and get right with God. And I've seen other people simply just brush it off with a smirk on their face, like, I don't care. I don't care what you say. Like, they're almost in a different category where this stuff doesn't affect them. But these are universal truths. Is Paul trying to be mean to them? No, he's trying to speak truth to them. What is more loving? If Paul would have held back the truth for political correctness, or is it more loving to tell the truth, to diagnose the problem? Felix and Drusilla, here's your problem, but here's the solution: faith in Jesus Christ. Jesus came for people like you, people like me. We've already been hearing Paul say he blew it in his former life, how he made mistakes, how he persecuted Christians. His goal is not simply just to make them feel bad. If that's the only goal you have in gospel presentations, you sinner. You know what? Turn or burn, baby. Have a nice day. No, compassion should drive us. But we've got to diagnose the problem, because if Americans who listen to our presentation, and for that matter, anybody around the world, doesn't know they have a sin issue, 100% deadly 100% of the time, they're not going to run to the Savior for the right reason. They're going to think that Jesus is just simply an option for life enhancement that works for some people. That's pragmatism. That's not the gospel.
You'll hear more from Pastor Michael in a moment.
We'd love to hear from you. If today's teaching on Walk in Truth encouraged you, challenged you, or raised a question, reach out and let us know. Send your comments, reactions, or questions to contact@walkintruth.com or give us a call at 844-48-TRUTH. Your story and feedback matter, and they help us continue equipping believers to apply God's truth to their daily walk. That's contact@walkintruth.com or 844-48-TRUTH. We look forward to hearing from you.
Your financial support helps keep Walk in Truth on the radio, and it also helps us reach people all over the world through the podcast. That means someone driving home from work, someone on a morning walk, or even someone on the other side of the globe can hear the hope of Jesus right when they need it most. And here's the cool part: every gift helps. Even a small step like becoming a monthly partner for just $5 a month makes a big impact. Think about it. For the price of less than one coffee, you could help keep Bible teaching going out day after day. So would you join us? Head over to walkintruth.com. That's walkintruth.com and become a partner today. And thank you.
Did you miss part of today's message? You can always listen again on demand. Catch every teaching from Pastor Michael Lance on the Walk in Truth app or wherever you listen to podcasts. It's an easy way to keep growing in God's Word and stay grounded in biblical truth throughout your week. Just search for Walk in Truth and start listening anytime.
We'd love to see who's listening, so please connect with us on Facebook or Instagram. Just do a search for Walk in Truth Show. Now, back to Pastor Michael Lance right here on Walk in Truth.
Americans who listen to our presentation, and for that matter, anybody around the world, doesn't know they have a sin issue 100% deadly 100% of the time, they're not going to run to the Savior for the right reason. They're going to think that Jesus is just simply an option for life enhancement that works for some people. That's pragmatism. That's not the gospel. The gospel says you're in trouble with a holy God, but he's done something to remedy your problem. Run to the foot of the cross and be saved. Amen? That is the answer. And the Philippian jailer is the opposite of Felix, because when the jail shook and he thought everybody escaped and Paul was still there, he was trembling before Paul. He eventually got down on his knees and he said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved, you and your household." And he got saved. But there is no evidence that Felix or Drusilla turned their life over to Christ. And the evidence is they had 2 years to interact with one of the most effective preachers of all time. The truth is, the more you hear the truth, the more you stop trembling. If you don't respond to it, if you're often reproved and you harden your neck, then all of a sudden you can become hardened to the truth. And now you've heard the gospel 10 or 20 times. You trembled the first or second time, but you're not trembling anymore. It's like you've become hardened to the truth. And that's one of the dangers of hearing truth and not responding to it. Now you might say, well, why would Paul preach this way? Because the Holy Spirit, write this down, John 16:8, has come to convict the world of, come on, Bible students, sin, righteousness, and judgment. Paul followed the exact sermon that the Holy Spirit preaches to people apparently all the time. He's come to convince the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment, and to convince them to run to Jesus Christ. He glorifies the Lord. He wants to get people convicted, not to leave them there, but to convince them of their need for Christ, because God doesn't want anybody to perish, but what? All to come to repentance. Thomas Huxley, the well-known agnostic evolutionary supporter, toward the end of the 19th century, was invited to a house party at a country home. Sunday came around and most of the guests prepared to go to church. As expected, Huxley did not desire to go, but he did approach a man known to have a simple but radiant Christian faith. He said to him, "Suppose you don't go to church today. Suppose you stay at home and you tell me quite simply what your Christian faith means to you and why you are a Christian." But the man said, "You can demolish my arguments in an instant. I'm not clever enough to argue with you." Huxley said gently, "I don't want to argue with you. I just want you to tell me simply what this Christ means to you." So the man did. When he had finished, there were tears in the old agnostic's eyes. He said, "I would give my right hand if only I could believe that." Huxley had seen something of the spiritual realities through the life of a humble, spirit-filled believer, but he could not or he would not believe. And when Huxley was asked why people gravitated so quickly to the idea of evolution, he didn't say because there's great evidence in the fossil record or anything like that. He said because the idea of a creator God interferes with man's sexual mores. If I trust Christ, I can't have sex with all the people that I want to, or I can't live against God. But he already knew. Now, there are people on that side of the scale, they know deep down, but they simply don't want to give in because they know it's going to cost them something. And there are others who don't think they can be saved. There's a story some years ago of a woman who sat in church. She had heard the gospel but felt she was unworthy of salvation. She was almost in despair and hardly heard the words of an elderly preacher speaking. Suddenly, right in the middle of his address, the preacher stopped. He pointed his finger at her. He said, "You, miss, sitting in the back of the church, you can be saved right now. You don't need to do anything." And I think he said, "Just trust in Christ." His words struck like thunder in her heart, and she believed at once. And with her belief came these wonderful words, a wonderful sense of peace and joy, and the wonderful words of a well-known hymn written that night by Charlotte Elliott. She went home and read and wrote, "Just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou biddest me come to thee. O Lamb of God, I come. I come." And Billy Graham Crusades have had that song played at the end of it over and over and over again. Because you can come right now as you are and trust in Jesus Christ. And there is something here, obviously, for the evangelists, for the Christian. Don't water down your message, no matter who it is. Give them the essence of the message and let compassion drive you. We don't need to be mean-spirited. We all were in the same boat without Christ. Amen? We let compassion drive us to preach the hope and the good news of Jesus Christ. But look at these last verses tell us that Felix's heart wasn't changed. 26, at the same time, too, he was hoping that money would be given him by Paul. Therefore, he also used to send for him quite often and converse with him. And over again, he interacted with Paul. And every time in the back of his mind, he was thinking, "I hope Paul gives me some money. Then I'll release him. I hope he bribes me." Why? Do you think Felix needed the money? And do you think Paul had the money to give to Felix anyway? How idiotic. But he couldn't get past his greed. So every time Paul came and preached to him, he got harder, and he was always thinking about money that Paul could give him. And money choked out the word, just like Jesus said, the deceitfulness of riches choke out the word. He couldn't get past it. Sad. But after 2 years had passed, Felix was succeeded by Porcius Festus, and wishing to do the Jews a favor, Felix left Paul imprisoned. I'm going to ask the worship team to come up, and I'm going to tell you what history tells us about the end of Felix and Drusilla. Felix, we are told in history, had a terrible end. And here's the testimony. Felix left his position as governor. When he left, he spent the rest of his days in disgrace in Rome because of his hot temper and bad decisions. Drusilla died, get this, at the age of 21, just 2 years after this event. She was in Europe on a shopping spree, apparently shopping for a Gucci purse, when Mount Vesuvius exploded and lava began to run down the mountain. She had borne a son to Felix. She named him Agrippa. He was just a little boy. She was shopping on the mountain. It exploded. The volcano erupted, and she got caught in the lava, and they both died. That's what history tells us about the end of Drusilla. And if Drusilla did not repent of her sin, how many times do you think in eternity she'll be replaying the three-point sermon by the Apostle Paul? How many times, if Felix did not repent of his sin, and he's sitting in judgment right now, do you think he'll replay those 2 years with Paul, having one of the most effective preachers to ever live, preach to him over and over again, and hardening his heart? Wow. This is the testimony of the Bible, folks. It shows us that we have a sense of urgency about the gospel. We preach it faithfully. We leave the results to God. But it also tells us, don't put it off. The Bible says now is the acceptable time. The devil says tomorrow, just one more night with the frogs. You can handle it. God says now. Turn and be saved now. Amen.
You've been listening to When I Find Time, Part 3 on Walk in Truth. That was Pastor Michael's teaching in Acts 23:12 through 24:27. You can email Pastor Michael with questions or prayer requests at contact@walkintruth.com. Now here's Pastor Michael with a final word.
You know, a lot of people in life, and I've watched this as a pastor for several decades now, they wait for a convenient time to make a commitment. They're intrigued by the gospel. They even believe Christianity is true, but they say, you know what? I'm going to put it off. I'm going to wait for a convenient time. Sometimes people talk about having kids and they say, what's the best time to have children? There's no convenient time. What's the best time to do this or to that? Do that. You know, there's some things, if you wait for the convenient time, like starting to exercise, for example, you'll never do it. There's no convenient time. It's just time. Now, when it comes to trusting in Jesus, some of you are listening to my voice right now. You've been listening to radio ministries, podcasting. You're intrigued with the Christian faith, but you've not yet made that commitment to the one who is the Christian faith. You see, Christianity is about Christ. Do you know him? Not just facts about him. Jesus said, you know, to the religious leaders of his day, you search the scriptures because you think you have life in those, but they testify of me. Yet you're unwilling to come to me. This is John 5, around verse 39, that you may have life. You can scour the scriptures. You can know the original languages. You can memorize passages and yet not know the one to whom the Bible points. Do you know him? Maybe you've been saying in your own mind to friends, family, well, when I find the time. No, now's the time. Today is that acceptable day. Once you trust in Jesus, trust in his perfect life, his sacrificial death, his triumphant resurrection, trust in who he is. Make your life count for the kingdom. That's what he's asking you and me to do today. And if we can help you in any way, please reach out to us through the website. There's a contact form there. You can let us know how to pray for you, maybe to rejoice with you in a first-time commitment to the Lord, or maybe coming back home for those of you who are backslidden. Whatever it may be, we'd like to hear and pray with you and for you. Walkintruth.com. Click on the contact form today, and we'll see you right here, Lord willing, tomorrow.
Walk in Truth is a listener-supported ministry. Your financial partnership helps us broadcast on this station and provide the podcast for free.
all so more people like you can dive deeper into the Word of God and apply it to their life. Please consider becoming a Walk in Truth monthly partner of at least $5 a month, or give a one-time gift. Please visit walkintruth.com to give. And join us tomorrow for part one of Truth and Hope on Trial.
If we sacrifice true truth, and I'll talk about what that means in a moment, we will inevitably sacrifice true hope. We have a message of hope to declare to the world, but we can't be timid about the central message of the faith. And what's happening is there's 3 minutes left in the game. We're down by 2 touchdowns, as one of my buds said out in the foyer this morning, and we're in prevent defense. That's not what we should be doing right now.
I'm Mike Massaro. Thanks for listening to Walk in Truth, where it's our goal to equip you to reach out with God's truth to all people.